Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to The Good Life. I'm glad you took the time out of your busy weekend to stop by on Saturday and have a little lunch with Good Life Guy. Food, wine, and fun for your ears. That's what we call it every Saturday. But you know what? You can call it anything you want. You just got to tune in. And don't forget, it's not just 1330 AM. It's also 98.7 FM. GoodLifeGuy.com is where you'll find out things that we've talked about in the past, and you can see what's coming up in the future. I got some information about this book. I can't wait to get my own copy. It's called Adventures in the Starry Kitchen. And this Adventures in a Starry Kitchen, you go, what is that? Well, then I read the first paragraph about the co-founder and self-proclaimed chief instigating officer of Starry Kitchen, and I was hooked. I can't imagine how you did this or why, but we're going to find out. His name is Win Tran. His wife, T, and him started a business out of their home, and it's progressed a good bit. Win, welcome to The Good Life.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, Guy.
Well, you got to tell me something here, pal. First off, no, let's do this. Let's talk about you and your wife. Let's talk about what brought you to the West Coast and the business you were in and what led up to this idea that, hey, why don't we start serving food out of our home and invite people over kind of as a bootleg restaurant?
Well, my wife and I are actually originally from Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we start. And I met my wife originally when I was 18 years old, and she's dating another guy I knew. It came to my party. I thought she was cute. And then fast forward 5 years later, we're in Austin, you know, when everyone in Texas goes to Austin. And we hitched a ride back with a similar friend, and I was just so fascinated by her. And I was like, oh, my God, I remember you. And she wasn't having any of that. And I pursued her for 3 months, and she told me no the entire time. And eventually, yeah, I know. I mean, in this case, persistence really, really pays off, because eventually I gave up. And then when I gave up, she got so used to me, you know, pursuing her, she caved in. And we got together. And, you know, at that point in time, it was the internet bubble of 2001 really hit really hard. I was actually working as a dot-commer, and then I became a dot-goner, which is a term that people don't remember anymore, but that was a term people used on me, which was very depressing.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that time of the dot-com era, I was working with people from film and Hollywood, and they're like, you know what, you have a knack for Hollywood for some reason, because you live in Dallas, and you're bored, and you know so much about film and television. You should work in Hollywood. I was like, what? I live in Dallas. Why would I move out there? That's what originally took us out to L.A. And it's not the same dreams of Hollywood that people would think. I was working with old TV shows like Casper the Friendly Ghost, The Lone Ranger. I mean, really classic TV shows that most Americans that have grown up on in terms of reruns. And that's why the original reason why we moved out to L.A. After that, I happened to just work myself up through film for the next 8 years. And from one recession, and then into the next recession, which was in 2008, that began the career of us making food, because we both lost our jobs and we had nothing better to do.
It's not funny. I get it. It's not funny. But
it is funny. Don't worry. Like, I put it that way. Like, that's, you know, everything that we've done. And for any listeners that don't know who we are, like, we started a legal restaurant in our apartment, and that's what we're getting to, right, is
yeah,
that we did that. And part of that that helps people understand the reinvention of us as people is because of happenstance. That is really, you know, what happened. Like, we the book, when you get it, you're going to see it's really cool. It's really colorful. It has really, like, you know, cool artwork. And I use very colorful words, sometimes curse words, sometimes not. But at the end of the day, it was a necessity to make money and to put food on the table, which drove us. And that's really important, you know, for me to put out there, because I don't want people to think, like, oh, my God, they're so cool, that's what they do. It's like, no, we are just like any other hot-blooded American. We needed to make a living. Something happened to us, and we needed to think really fast on our feet.
Wow. Okay, so, but it's a partnership, and T ends up being the chef. Obviously, she had some talent in the kitchen, because you look pretty healthy.
Thank you.
She was fully endorsed and fully in on this plan and was ready to go.
Absolutely not. She was not fully endorsed or fully in. You know, so part of this is, so my wife was the first woman I ever met that was very talented at cooking. I was always interested in eating and a little bit of cooking. And, you know, early 2009, so the middle of the fall of the economy, we were about 3 or 4 months in, we had a friend stay with us who was a movie producer from South Korea, and she started cooking food for us. And at one point in time, which is pretty much every day, I stuck my foot in my mouth. I'm like, hey, honey. And at this point in time, she was only cooking Chinese and Vietnamese food at home most of the time. Because she's Chinese, but she was born in Vietnam, so that's what she was exposed to. I was like, hey, honey, do you think you can maybe make something other than Chinese or Vietnamese food? And I'm going to give you a nice version because there's more expletives than normal. She's like, well, why don't you make it yourself, Nguyen Tran? There's a big F-bomb in the middle of that. You can guess where it might work. And the next day, she started making other foods. Korean food, Malaysian food, Indonesian food. And then for the next 40 days, she'd make an original dish every day.
Wow.
Take a picture of it. And by the way, this is before the food porn revolution of Instagram and social media. She was taking it because she was Asian. And people don't remember what that means, but before there was digital phones and digital photography, you know, Asians were typically really well known to take pictures of food with their 24 exposure, 35 millimeter camera. And that's the way my wife thought. She may have grown up in America, but she was very Asian. And she was posted on Facebook, and eventually she lost her job in April 2009. And everyone was like, hey, you should cook. And she's like, why do I want to do that? And I was like, honey, because everyone can see you love food except for you. You cannot see it for some reason. And then 3 weeks later, you know, she's unemployed for 3 weeks. I was like, honey, we're starting the legal and underground restaurant in the back of our apartment this Sunday. And literally, that's pretty much verbatim what I said. She goes, why? I was like, because you're unemployed and you ain't got S to do. And you have another choice. It's like, and that was pretty much like, she had, and that logic for some reason worked with her, and she didn't argue, and then we started Starry Kitchen.
Okay, so there you are. You're in L.A., probably one of the best restaurant cities in the world. You live in an apartment. You're struggling, as some people are prone to be in this up-and-down economy that we have. Starting a restaurant out of your apartment has some risk. I can't even imagine doing it on the down low and trying to promote it and getting people to come by. There's so many things here that you had to overcome. Tell me about the first night, the first day that you opened and publicized, and how.
So the first day, so it was a Thursday night when I finally coerced my wife. And I use that term semantically very specifically because my wife was not totally in. Like, her first question was, well, what if we get caught? And I think everyone has that friend that's the weasel that gets their way out of everything. I am that friend. I'm like, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. Not so much in that intonation or tone, but I was like, don't worry. Figure it out, honey. You know, when it happens, it happens. So I had a dog, and anyone that has a dog knows this. Like, when I walk my dog, no one knows me. They know me by my dog and my dog's name.
Yep.
And my dog at the time, his name is GQ. And everyone's like, oh my God, you're GQ's dad. How are you doing? So what I did was, I live in these corporate apartment buildings in North Hollywood, which is like a northern part of Los Angeles. It's kind of a suburb, but we don't really necessarily use the term suburb in LA for some reason. And in these buildings, there were 100 units in each building. There were 3 of them. So I printed up 300 flyers with GQ's picture on it and mentioned that we were serving food out of the back of our apartment and asking for a $5 donation. And we fired every unit on a Saturday night. And then I started a Facebook page. I started a Twitter account. I called all my friends. I was like, hey, man, you're going to show up. Like, why? Because I'm broke, and I need to make some money. And you're gonna be a good friend, okay? And that's what you do. When you're a good friend, you guilt your other friends.
Oh, yeah.
Showing up. And then we set up, so our apartment, it's the second floor of the building, but actually the second floor of this building was the actual ground floor. So we had a communal patio, and I had a card table, like a folding table, and I set it up in the back patio, and I set up literally like a lemonade stand. Like, any person that imagine a lemonade stand on the corner of any street, it was just a card table and a piece of paper and I said, Starry Kitchen, and I had the menu, and we set up, and I waited. And all of a sudden, our friends would show up, and then some people that didn't know who we were or didn't know who we were in our apartment building would show up and like, hey, man, I got some flyer for some food, and you know what? I just don't want to go to McDonald's today. What's this all about? Like, isn't this illegal? I'm like, yeah, it is, but it's fun, right? They're like, whatever, man. Just like, can you make me something? That'd be awesome. That's how we started, and people just started, you know, our friends would show up to support, and these people randomly would show up because we were closer than McDonald's. You know, they had two choices, right? They'd roll out of bed, and our apartment building, they're fairly young, so most of these people are young 20-something, the mid-20-somethings, that are trying to make it in Hollywood, either as actors or similar. So, you know, kind of the ilk that are like, you know what, this takes a little bit less effort. I will give it a shot.
Well, it had to be an interesting beginning, but things have happened pretty quick to get you where you are today. The food had to be great, and pour tea in the kitchen. How big can the kitchen be? Were there ever any nights, evenings where you got swamped and just ran out of food?
That happened a lot. Well, the first time we did it, we made too much food, but we made enough money in donations. And I'm actually, you don't see this, but I'm doing quotes in the air so you can see me subversively, like, donations. To buy more food and do it again. So we started doing this. I told my wife we're going to do this every week, every Sunday. Because, you know, in order to, you know, when you start a business of any kind, you need regularity to see if it grows or if it drops and try to adjust and get better or worse. After that first weekend, we did it again, and we started buying a better amount of food, in the sense that we weren't overbuying anymore, and we're trying to find the sweet spot. But, you know, it's funny, it's like the second or third weekend we did it, we had a friend of ours who's now in Vancouver, but he was the executive chef of the Beverly Hills Hotel, which is a very prestigious hotel and restaurant in Los Angeles. He's hot stuff because, you know, have you ever heard of the Bocuse d'Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the captain of the Canadian team. That's how much hot stuff this guy is. And he gave us one piece of advice. So, like, you know, he ate, started eating the food, and it was really good, like we predicted here. And he was like, no, you're going to run out of refrigerated room very fast. And refrigerated room very fast. We ran out. We did. You know, people would show up just from all over the city, and they would come with bigger groups. And all of a sudden, people show up, and they would start getting really mad at us, even though we were just a humble couple trying to do this out of our apartment. So then we started, you know, doing it every Wednesday night and Sunday at lunch, and both grew, and it got bigger so much that we had to take pre-orders. And you'll see in the book, there's a picture of my cabinet with these little sticky notes. One point in time, we would have, like, 70 pre-orders before we started.
Wow.
You know, we would leave a little bit of room for people that would walk in. It was unbelievable, and I could not fathom how many people would come to our place. Like, the last time we actually did it, we out of our apartment, we had 130 people come to our apartment in 3 hours, which was nuts.
Well, I'll tell you what, I want to hear more. My guest today, Win Tran, him and his wife, T, as you have heard in the first segment here, went out on a limb and started doing a bootleg restaurant. It got out of control. I can just picture that. That would be the scary part for me, having so much success so fast that you just can't keep up. And, well, but they've done better. And we're talking about his book, Adventures in Starry Kitchen. We're going to give you a copy after the next break. So don't go away. We'll be right back with more food, wine, and fun for your ears right after this short break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.